Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Yes, today is Wednesday. It is hump day.
I feel amazing this morning. I feel blessed, black, and highly favored. Drop one of Clues Bombs for me.
Shouldn't you feel that way every morning?
I do feel that way every morning. Okay. I just feel a little bit, I feel it a little bit more usual this morning. I don't know why, though.
Okay.
I can't quite figure it out. Like, I came into work, I was listening to Kendrick Lamar, Black and the Berry, and then I put on Rhapsody, Black and Ugly. Have you listened to Rhapsody album yet?
I haven't listened to the album yet.
I keep telling you.
I'm going to listen to it today. We got to take a little field trip, so I'll listen to it on the field trip.
I don't think y'all realize how incredible Rhapsody's album is, bro. I just want to throw that out there.
I'm going to listen to it today, definitely on a field trip.
Layla's Wisdom. I just want to throw that out there.
I'm going to listen to it today.
Did you see the BET Hip Hop Awards last night?
I wouldn't watch that. It's too much time. I seen the snippets, though. I did see Eminem kill it during the cypher.
I did see Eminem body it.
Did you watch the whole awards?
No, I did not.
See, why you laughing at me then?
You know, I just simply did not. I was watching Black-ish. I watched The Mayor. I watched Fresh Off the Boat. I was flipping back and forth between the BET Hip Hop Awards, but I just... It's not that I wasn't interested, but I just wasn't interested.
You wasn't interested.
Yeah, I wanted to see certain parts of the site. Like, I caught a couple cyphers. I saw the Migos perform. I saw Cardi B accept her Hustler of the Year award.
But okay.
Other than that, I couldn't tell you what happened.
Nah, I seen a lot of the snippets. Like I said, I see Eminem spit bars. And that made me excited for Eminem's new album.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. Like, I love to see the rappers that are 40 plus
right.
still get busy because they stretched the genre as far as like age is concerned.
Right.
So it was interesting. Plus he was speaking a message. You know, I love when the white allies stand up and speak truth to power about the things that are going on in this country.
Now, has Donald Trump replied with his diss record yet?
Oh, give him a minute.
Okay.
Matter of fact, let's drop one of Clues Bombs for the BET Hip Hop Awards now. Mm-hmm. Because that will show Donald Trump's level of petty.
It's he's going
to
be petty.
It's one thing to tweet about the NFL. It's one thing to tweet about, like, mainstream award shows like the Emmys and Oscars. But, man, if he tweets about the BET Hip Hop Awards, the culture has won.
The culture has
won. All right. Because, listen, when you speak truth to power and you agitate your enemies, that's when you're really speaking truth to power.
I just want to know what he's going to say. He has to say, I'm like, those people are always mad at me. It's going to be something like
that. Can't say those people because Eminem is white. Let's be clear.
Oh, you're right.
He's of the culture, but he's still Caucasian.
You know? You're right.
So, but I always say that. White people have to use their privilege to combat prejudice in this country. Eminem did that last night.
Well, I'm sure we'll play that in the rumors. Also, the Bishop T.D. Jakes will be joining us.
Can you guys hear me?
Hey, there you go. Yay. Finally. You decided to join us.
They didn't put me up. I'm on. I was like, hello. But you guys can hear me. And I did watch the BET Awards last night, just so you guys know. I did watch the Hip Hop Awards.
The full thing? Did you like it?
I watched the full thing because I'm actually in D.C. right now.
Oh, yeah. Nothing else to do. Okay.
They didn't have BET in the actual room, so I had to stream it on my laptop.
They have BET in the hotel in D.C.?
They definitely had VH1. They had MTV, but no BET.
Discrimination. Mm-mm. Didn't BET originate in
Washington, D.C.? Yeah, out here.
How you originate in D.C. and they don't have y'all on in the hotel?
That's disgraceful.
Listen, I don't know, but I did watch the BET Hip Hop Awards. You guys are shameful for not paying attention.
Well, like I said, Bishop T.D. Jakes will be joining us.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Bishop T.D. Jakes. Yes, that Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Hold on. Okay, the bomb's going. There we go. Hit it again. Let's try it again.
Bishop T.D. Jakes, that Bishop T.D. Jakes will be here this morning. He's got a new book out called Soar. And we'll be talking about that amongst other things. Y'all going to get this word this morning.
Yeah, we're going to get this word. We need this word.
Beloved.
The world needs the word. The world needs the word.
Beloved. You're going to get this word, beloved.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. You got front page news? What are we talking about?
Yes, we'll be talking about those wildfires in California. Terrible situation, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Also, we'll do that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey, I lied again.
What you lied about?
I did catch one more thing at the BET Hip Hop Awards.
What'd
I caught Khaled's opening performance of I'm So Hood.
Really?
Yeah, he
How
did.
How was that?
I don't remember. I heard it, but I didn't. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to tell you why. I was laying in the bed.
So you didn't see it then? If you don't remember, you
don't.
Why would you say that? You didn't see anything. I'm going to tell you what was phenomenal.
It was the radio. That's what you
heard. Luke, when Uncle Luke closed out the show, it was like a party on stage.
Oh, now I missed that now. I wanted to see that.
I'm not going to lie. That was popping.
And the reason I caught Khaled's performance, because it repeated at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I was watching Tales.
Okay.
On BET, and then they came on at 11, but I don't know what the hell I wanted to do. Maybe I wanted to brush my teeth or something.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Now, shout out to the Yankee fans out there. Looks like they play Cleveland tonight at 8 p.m. in Cleveland. Go Yankees! Now, let's talk about these NFL owners, G.
Yes, the Football League owners are planning to review a policy that requires all players to stand for the national anthem. They're having their fall meeting next week to review that potential policy. Now, the report of the owners will consider a rule change. And according to Roger Goodell, he wrote a letter to the NFL owners. He said, "We live in a country that can feel very divided. Sports, and especially the NFL, brings people together and lets them set aside those divisions at least for a few hours. The current dispute over the national anthem is threatening to erode the unifying power of our game and is now dividing us and our players from many fans across the country."
So basically, they want to take away people's constitutional right to protest for a few hours during game time.
What they should do is just not have that part on television. If you're there, you're there. I don't even... They made it into a way bigger deal than it had to be.
I mean, I guess that's their right as a private entity. They can do that if they want. If they're saying no politics across the board for this moment in time, let's just play sports. I can see that, I guess.
Now, let's talk about these California wildfires.
Yes. Those wildfires across Northern California have killed at least 17 people, and hundreds of firefighters are trying to keep thousands of people away from the path of those fires. More than 20,000 people have been ordered to evacuate as of last night. Authorities are saying that everybody else should pack ready-to-go bags with documents and medicines just in case they have to flee at the last moment. So they're saying this could be one of the worst disasters in California history.
Damn. Well, goodness gracious. Prayers up for everybody out there.
Absolutely.
Quick thing about the NFL, too.
What's that?
Roger Goodell and all of these owners, like, you know, they keep saying they want to move past this kneeling controversy. Mm-hmm. All of this could go away if somebody simply signs Colin Kaepernick. Like, that would be a step in the right direction. If you re-sign Colin Kaepernick and stop blackballing him and then implement this, look, we just want everybody to stand. Please, let's keep, you know, the protest off the field for a few hours. We don't care what y'all do in y'all off time, but just when y'all here, let's keep the protest off. If somebody signs Colin Kaepernick, I think players will be fine with it.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't about Colin Kaepernick. It was about just saying that I can't represent in this country that way just because I want to bring to light the young people who are being killed and brutalized, the people of color, by the police.
Well, I mean, clearly they made an extreme example out of Colin, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, by blackballing him. He's the one that started the whole thing, and he's the one that, you know, kneeled
for feeling the effects of it, right.
He kneeled for the injustice of African Americans, the issues that African Americans were facing at the hands of the police.
He's confused me for a second. Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Well, sign him and all of this could go away.
That's front page news. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, whatever it may be. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, phone lines are wide open. Hit us up right now. You can vent. You could speak some positivity in the air. Whatever you need to do, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Get it off your chest, Doug.
Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. I can't believe I just made it through, man. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. I moved to Las Vegas, and I'm just out here thriving, man. I got my degree in accounting, and I'm working at one of the best casinos on the Strip, man. I'm safe after all this. Man,
which casino you at?
I'm at the Venetian Casino right now, man. I'm in the auditing department. But shout out to y'all, man. Angela Yee, she's beautiful. Shout out to Charlamagne the God. Shout out to DJ Envy, man.
Why can't I be beautiful?
You guys are beautiful, too. Everybody's beautiful.
There we go.
All right, everybody's beautiful. I'm lacking the positivity.
How y'all holding up after last week's events, man?
Man, it's a little bit of tension in the air. But for the most part, everybody's cool, man. It ain't too messy out here, you know.
My brother.
Thank you, bro. Hello, who's this?
No, Envy, this is Trav.
Trav, get it off your chest.
Hey, Yee.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Charlamagne?
Hey, Trav. Hey, sis.
Oh, God.
Talk to me, sis.
So, I've been having this on my heart for a little while now. Ever since y'all had a caller called in about a week and a half ago, and y'all had Lil Boosie on there. So, It's about this toxic masculinity thing about people seeing gay people on TV and thinking they shouldn't be on TV and thinking that seeing two gay people on TV is going to turn their children gay. Mind you, I'm 26, and I've been seeing heterosexual couples on TV for years, and my black ass is still gay.
Okay? That's a good way to look at it.
That's a great point.
All I've been seeing ever since I've been growing up is heterosexual couples on TV. When I go to church, that's all they preach about. And I can tell you, it ain't turned me straight. So
it hasn't influenced you in any way.
It ain't influenced me in no way. And seeing if your child is going to turn gay from seeing two people on TV kissing, they ass going to be gay anyway.
Okay. Travelers, put a period. Let's put a period on the end of what you said. There's nothing
I
more
like that.
Nothing more needs to be said. Sir.
Thank you, Trav.
Great point, Trav.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, you can hit us up right now. And today is National Out the Closet Day, too.
Today is National Coming Out Day. That is a fact.
All right.
Today is also National Pets Obesity Day for your fat-ass little pets.
Oh, boy.
It's National Food Truck Day if you like to eat at those food trucks.
Okay.
Me, personally, I don't like the food trucks because I've seen rats covered in food trucks, especially here in New York.
And today you don't do street meat?
No, I don't do street meat. Today is National Sovereign Food Heritage Day as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so go eat some sovereign food.
All right, if you want to keep going, today is also Cardi B's birthday.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Cardi B. And since we talk about phenomenal female MCs,
today is MC Light's birthday as well.
Yeah,
all right.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for MC Light.
There's a lot going on today. All right, but get it off your chest. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Autumn from Jacksonville.
Hey, Autumn. Get it off your chest, mama.
I am upset that everyone feels the need to down-mouth Kaepernick still. If people would just address the situation at hand, we wouldn't have to deal with everyone kneeling still.
Wait, so you don't agree with Kaepernick?
No, I agree with him 100%. I don't agree with the people not signing him.
Oh, okay.
The people are not dealing with the bigger situation at hand. The bigger situation at hand is black people being treated differently in this country.
Absolutely.
That's the reason he's kneeling.
Absolutely.
And I feel like if people would address that issue, we wouldn't have to deal with NFL players kneeling before each game.
Well, you know, they want to deflect from everything except for what their main point is. And the main point is the injustice that African Americans are facing in this country. But for some reason, nobody wants to have that conversation.
And it's been working because we actually forgot about the
that
main reason of why he started kneeling. G.
Yeah, man, this is G from the Brick City, and I'm calling because the BET Awards last night, it was so weak and low budget. It got to be the worst BET Awards show yet.
Yeah, I mean,
DJ Khaled, I am sick and tired of you. How are you the best when you look like you got high blood pressure and diabetes? You need to go sit down and get on a diet, boy.
Well,
now listen, Khaled does need to lean out a little bit, but listen, the thing is, you're a rapper and you have a rap crew, so you're always going to feel like the BET Hip Hop Awards are whack until you and your crew are there.
A performer, correct.
Did you watch any of the cyphers, though?
They was awful. I love Eminem cypher, and I'm not a rapper. I'm just a truck driver to make money, bro. I don't want to be a rapper.
Nah,
we need a DJ Envy and Friends out there. You got the hottest joint out. Envy, I mean, I don't understand the word Fetty Wap is saying, but the joint is hot, mother.
Now, G, what happened to you? Usually we hear from you every other day, man. Did you get locked up or something?
Child support.
Oh, come on, man. I'm married with two kids, happily married. My wife works, I work. Come on, I'm doing good, brother. I really have nothing to hate about. I mean,
now, you didn't
so
like
good.
Uncle Luke's performance at the end?
I'll fall asleep after Eminem did his thing. I went to sleep after that.
G, be safe out there, bro.
You too.
Maestro.
What's going on?
Get it off your chest, bro.
I just want to say that I'm blessed. I'm Maestro from Goldsboro, North Carolina. I'm blessed to have a beautiful wife named Tamika Plummer and beautiful children. And I just want to give a shout out to Charlemagne of God because he always speaks his mind.
Thank you, brother.
He always tell the truth, and he don't let up on the crackers. And I never want you to stop. I just wish y'all would do more. But just keep up the good work, man, because we need y'all out there speaking the truth on these issues at hand when it comes to these crackers going against us, man.
Hey, they're gonna stop me one day, but I'll just be on my own platform that I own by then.
There you go. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us at any time. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Man, so many things to talk about. Do we start with Harvey Weinstein or do we start with Eminem's freestyle last night? What y'all want to do?
Eminem.
Yeah, let's start with Eminem's freestyle. I like when white people use their privilege to combat prejudice.
All right, we'll get into that. In the room, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Yes, so yesterday at the BET Awards, Eminem, that's what everybody was looking forward to seeing him in the cypher. And of course, he had a 4.5-minute freestyle.
Wow.
And he said a lot of things. It was basically all about Donald Trump and our country. And amongst the things that he said, here he is talking about Colin Kaepernick and the NFL.
It's like we take a step forwards, then backwards. But this is his form of distraction. Plus, he gets an enormous reaction when he attacks the NFL, so we focus on that and instead of talking Puerto Rico with gun reform for Nevada, all these horrible tragedies, and he's bored and would rather cause a Twitter storm with the Packers. That. This is for Colin. Ball up a fist and keep that ball like Donald the bitch.
He killed this freestyle.
Yeah, I mean, Eminem did exactly what I've been telling white people to do for months. He used his privilege to combat prejudice. Like, you cannot remain silent on injustices that you see happening in America to other Americans. It don't matter their race, their sexuality, their gender, because in the words of Martin Luther King Jr., an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So salute to Eminem for using his privilege to combat prejudice.
Now here he is talking about Donald Trump and what a hypocrite he is.
And says he wants to lower our taxes. Then who's gonna pay for his extravagant trips back and forth with his family, his golf resorts, and his mansions? Same that he tormented Hillary for and he slandered, then does it more. From his endorsement of Bannon, support for the Klansman, tiki torches in hand for the soldier that's black and comes home from Iraq and is still told to go back to Africa, forking a dagger in this racist 94-year-old grandpa who keeps ignoring our past historical deplorable factors. Now, if you're a black athlete, you're a spoiled little brat for trying to use your platform or your stature to try to give those a voice who don't have one. He says you're spitting in the face of vets who fought for us, you bastards. Unless you're a POW who's tortured and battered, because to him, you're zeros, because he don't like his war heroes captured.
I'm just waiting for Donald Trump to respond.
He's definitely going to give him some balls back.
Oh, man. Because
it's all over every single news. Everything this morning is all about Eminem destroying Donald Trump last night. Now, here he is talking about his fans, because I'm sure Eminem has some fans that are actually supporters of Donald Trump. And he has some words for them as well. Check it out.
And any fan of mine who's a supporter of his, I'm drawing in the sand a line. You're either for or against. And if you can't decide who you like more in your split on who you should stand beside, I'll do it for you with this. You. The rest of America, stand up. We love our military and we love our country, but we hate Trump.
I love this. This is just beautiful.
Yeah, and by the way, that's how I feel too. Like, you cannot be a Trump supporter and then, you know, claim to be on the right side of good. Like, right. You know, you got to pick a side. Like, you really do have to pick a side. The soul of the country is at stake, and you have to ask yourself, what side do you want to be on? It's not about Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. It's about right and wrong, good and evil, God and Satan, what side you want to be on. So, yes, Eminem, draw that goddamn line in the sand.
Now, does this move Eminem up into your top five? Because he's always been in my top five.
Now, he's always been in my top five.
It doesn't move him up in my top five.
I mean, absolutely. That was pretty incredible.
Listen, I respect Eminem. I have always saluted Eminem as a top-tier lyricist. He's just not in my personal top five. If you have him in your top five, I'm not going to argue with you, though. That's a great choice. He's just not in my personal top five. No. I will say, ironically, though, I've always felt like Eminem doesn't get the credit he deserves because he is white. Mm. I've just recently started to see Eminem pop up on everybody's top list.
Now, I always said
he's
been
nice. Eminem's always been on people's
always
top
been nice.
List as a lyricist and as a battle rapper. And
absolutely.
And listen, historically, when people say top five, they'll say Nas, Jay-Z, Biggie, Tupac. It's always those
Eminem.
Usual suspects. Isn't that, no.
They, yeah, they do. As a matter of
fact,
they
just happened.
I actually had to do it my own top five list, and Eminem was one of the people they said you're not allowed to put on the list because that's one of the people that
everybody uses.
Says.
Yeah.
I think that's been very recent.
And a lot of other artists also put Eminem in their top five.
I really think that's happened more recently than in the past.
D- Definitely has. Eminem was actually the person who got me my start in radio.
That don't mean he's top five since he got you a start in radio.
No, I was just saying I pay attention to his career probably more than you have, and I absolutely have seen him in a lot of people's top five.
All right, girls.
You can pull
girls.
Up any. I just don't think so. I think Bishop people just started doing that.
Bishop is here. All right, thank you for that rumor report, Yee.
No problem.
When we come back, Bishop T.D. Jakes will be in the building, so we'll kick it with the Bishop, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
They got a new book out called Soar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
This book is very timely because it's about entrepreneurship, which leads to economic empowerment. You say that you don't have to be an entrepreneur to think like one and take flight with your dreams. Explain that more for those who haven't read
it. I really wrote the book because I really wanted to talk to people who are trying to launch their careers, get their dreams up, accomplish their goals. Most people who have accomplished something never take the time to teach other people how they did it. There are some basic principles that go across the board regardless of what type of business you're trying to build or what type of career or brand you want. And I wrote the book Soar to show you how to build from the ground up. If you don't have all the capital and you don't have all the support, that still doesn't mean you can't fly.
Now, what's interesting about you is that both of your parents were entrepreneurs. And I know I was actually just talking to some kids yesterday that are thinking about getting into being an entrepreneur and trying to figure out those steps. And I was saying my parents never really instilled that in me. And so fortunately for you, you were kind of raised with that mindset, and for your brothers and sisters.
It makes a big difference if you come up in an environment where people are talking business all the time. And I mean, this was low-impact business. My father started a business with a mop and a bucket. That's it. Mm-hmm. And ended up with 52 employees and 10 trucks back in the 60s. But I grew up in the house of good days, the bad days. I know what it's like when it's going good and then it's going bad. Most people get out of business because they hit a bad spot, but it's like turbulence on a plane. If you just stay seated, everything's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Things land on their feet again, and you have to withstand those struggles, those hard times, and you have to be on top of your business. You have to focus. You have to do what you have to do. And the book was written based on the Wright brothers, because these guys built a airplane that nobody had ever heard, didn't even know what to call it,
right.
And they built it in a bicycle shop. And I wrote it to say you don't have to have everything that you need to build your dream. Take what you got, use what you got, start where you are, and build from there. And it's amazing what you can accomplish with your life.
Now, let's go back a little bit, if y'all don't mind. Let's start. How did you get into the church? What got you in the church so heavy?
It's kind of hard to remember a time that I wasn't. I grew up in that environment. I grew up around it. Mm-hmm. So I was exposed to it. So on one hand, I grew up playing the piano in the church. On the other hand, I ended up helping my father run a buffer at night. Mm-hmm. So I had a work ethic and a spiritual life almost all of my life. And it's always been a part of my life.
You never played no sports? You got a like a little nose guard build.
I know, but so it's fake news, bro. Yeah. It's fake news. I inherited these shoulders. I didn't earn them. My daddy gave me these. Thank you, daddy. But the reality is I didn't do that. I really grew up in that kind of environment. And that's not to say I was any goody two-shoes. Don't think that by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. But I did grow up in that environment where there was faith on one hand, there was work on the other. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of who I became.
What made you take it so serious? Because, you know, every black family, most black families put their children in church, and they get to a certain age and then they just kind of weasel out.
Yeah, everybody not ordained.
Yeah, not everybody stays for the long.
That's a great question. Nobody ever asked me that. That's amazing. Nobody ever asked me. I think what made me take it so seriously is my father got sick when I was 10. I grew up in a house with dialysis. I grew up in a house where we were juggling between life and death on a daily basis. Dialysis wasn't nearly as advanced as it is today.
Right.
He died when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a choice between blowing my brains out and coming to God. Mm. And that was kind of where my head was at that time, in a really, really bad spot. And I knew that there was something missing out of my life as it related to fathering that I desperately needed. And I was trying to fill that hole in my life. And I think that has all the world to do with how I became who I am.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because you do talk about your father with his business. Even though he did grow his business to have 52 employees, mm-hmm. you always felt like he could have really taken it to the next level if he would have had that mindset.
Yeah, well, the thing I noticed about my dad was hard to describe because he did everything. He sold fish. He did everything imaginable. He was like the ultimate hustler.
Right.
And then he got this business going and he was doing it good, but he brought a hustling attitude into a business opportunity. And I noticed something, that he was so busy doing it, He didn't have time to grow it. Mm. And so in the book, I talk about the danger of keeping your hands on things so long that it deteriorates from what it could have been, because you can hire somebody to do it, but you can't hire anybody to think it. You have to be able to market it. You have to be able to manage it. It's just because you have a talent doesn't mean you need to go into business doing that thing, because business is not about doing it. It's about thinking it.
How did you have the mindset to be in the church and to have all these other businesses that you do? Because I'm sure the congregation looks at you and, you know, it's always, they're looking at you and say, well, where is he getting that money from? How is he making this? How is that? Like, it's almost ridicule of what they do. So how did you have that mind frame to continue to go and still do those businesses?
The funny thing about that is I had my business before I had my church. T.D. Jakes Enterprises existed before I had the Potter's House. So the church didn't have to get used to it. I came with it. Mm-hmm. Like Marvin Winans can sing, and he brings a gift in the presence of also being a preacher. All you can give is who you are. Mm-hmm. It's not because I'm a preacher that I'm successful. I'm successful if I didn't preach. I've done enough movies. I've done enough films mm-hmm. that if I didn't preach at all, which puts me in a position where I don't have to do it for the money. Yeah. I can do it because I love it. So being bivocational is a blessing. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed to make films and started out doing plays, got a door and an opportunity to do something with Sony Pictures. I wasn't going to give up the ministry because I became more successful. And I wasn't going to give up the opportunity because I was a preacher.
What do you think? What do you say to people who call guys like yourself pulpit pimps because they feel like y'all have turned church into a business?
Well, most of the guys who say that are standing outside, and it's like standing outside of your business, calling you names. People who stand outside of something never really understand it. They make assumptions about things. They make assumptions. They don't understand. And every ministry is different. I'm not vouching for everybody. We're not monolithic. We're not all alike. But in our particular case, people who know our ministry know that we rehabilitate 10,000 inmates and help them to reduce the rate of recidivism. We have a year-long program that we take them through to get them back out in life. People who know our ministry know that we were boots on the ground in Katrina. We were there when they were snatching bodies out of there. We were there for the current hurricanes that we have all the way to Puerto Rico. People who know our ministry, know the work that we do all over the world, digging wells and whatnot. And then we have 300 people on staff. It's not just me. Mm-hmm. But when you come on TV, they see you.
Right.
They see you and they see money, and they don't see 300 other families who eat every day because of what we do. So if you're sitting around the barbershop and you're making assumptions, assumptions have a root word.
Ass.
Bishop T.D. Jakes just said, how you gonna hate from the outside of the church? You can't even get in.
All right.
All right, we got more with T.D. Jakes when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have the Bishop T.D. Jakes in the building. Charlamagne?
You relate all entrepreneurship to flying in this book. You mentioned the Wright brothers earlier, but why flying?
Well, because it is a bit like being suspended to start a business. You don't feel like you have anything under you. It is a scary situation. You start out on the ground, you end up in the air. And what I'm really saying about a business, the Wright brothers looked up in the air and thought the audacious thought, I belong up there, at a time when that was totally ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They built something to take them there. People who build businesses must build the business to take them toward your dream. The business is not the dream. It is the transportation to the dream. Mm. If you don't get that straight in the embryonic stages of building a business, you won't succeed. And the reason it's important that we have this conversation right now is women of color are going into business more readily than any other people group in the country. Mm-hmm. They are going into business that fast. Bad news is they're not staying in the business because they don't lack access to capital and they don't have anybody to mentor them. And what I'm saying in the book, I don't care how talented you are, how gifted you are, you're better if you have a coach.
Right. And you talk about the research of where the Wright brothers went. They said, okay, this is where the wind is going to be right for us to be able to take off. And then once you do take off, having the wind beneath you so that you can... Yeah.
That's one of my favorite points. I'm glad you brought that up. My experiences, I've done a lot of things. I've done talk shows. I've done various types of businesses. No matter how good you build whatever it is you're building, if you don't get it in the right wind at the right time, then you won't accelerate the way you need to. The Wright brothers built the first plane in Dayton, but they launched it in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And the main reason they went to Kitty Hawk is because the wind is right. Mm. And in the book, I use that as a metaphor to say you might be doing the right thing in the wrong place mm-hmm. or at the wrong time. If you get the right winds up under you, you become a lot more successful. Colonel Sanders built his business at a time that women had gone to work and families were used to home-cooked meals. The timing was right. The wind was right. And in spite of the fact that he was 60-some years old, he launched a business that outlived him, outgrew him, and became a brand that's still here today.
And money is a motivation, too. We discussed that because a lot of people who are motivated to be successful think finance mm-hmm. is what defines success. Mm-hmm. But that can't be the only thing that you're aiming for.
No, it doesn't work. In fact, stats say that people who go into business because they need money are more apt to go out of business than anybody else. The success rate is deplorable. However, people who start a business to meet other people's needs mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. are much more successful. You don't have to market as hard. You don't have to talk me into supplying something that I have a need for. So it's really about purpose-driven, not profit-driven. If you are purpose-driven, the profits will follow you. If you're profit-driven, you're always going to be hustling.
What was your business before the church?
I've always been involved in the church, but I've done managed clothing. Mm-hmm. I was a buyer for a clothing store for men's fashion. I worked for Union Carbide, processing gases and acetylenes and oxygens for a number of years. I've done just about everything.
So Avon products?
For my mother when I was a little boy. My mother was an Avon lady. I was a little boy helping her. So I was hustling all of my life. All of my life, I've always been doing something productive. I was actually a short order cook and later a chef for a restaurant. So I've done just
a
little bit
look
of
like
everything.
A chef, though. I ain't gonna lie.
I can throw down, brother. I can hurt you real bad. You won't be able to wear nothing you got.
Now, a lot of people always talk about, you know, I have money or I have an idea. I want to start a business. What should I do? And there's a lot of listeners that have money. They hit me and you all the time about what should I do? What would you tell somebody that wants to create a business or start a business that have no idea, don't know where to start, or just clueless?
Study everything you can about the business. Get every kind of magazine. Get around anybody who's doing what you want to do. Any kind of way you, before you start the business, not after, before you start, because the fact that you want to start a business in an area, every business has a culture, mm-hmm. unspoken rules. And so in order to really find out how to do that, you have to get around people who are doing that. Don't be afraid to enter in at ground level zero to get the information. Once you've gathered all the information, the second step, put your team together. Mm-hmm. You can't do it without the right mm-hmm. team. It's very important that you get the right team. If you're going to build a team, don't build a team, which is a mistake most people make, associating with people who do what you do. Because if you surround yourself with people who do what you do, they're going to compete with you. Mm-hmm. You want people who are good at what you're not good at so they complete you. Mm. Once you have your team together, and they should be completing you in that they accessorize your limitations. So you have to be good enough at what you do to know what you're not good at. Most people are too egotistical to admit that they're not good at anything, so they don't build the right team because you want to be the master of everything. Right. You want to come up with the concept, develop the concept, share it with people, get a non-disclosure agreement before you do so, right. Put together your team, and from your team, you launch your dream.
Another good piece of advice you give in the book, Saw, is, waiting patience and wanting it now. And you touch on how these millennials don't really realize success is a process.
It is definitely a process. And I do training camps for millennials. I'm passionate about them. I love them. When I'm standing over in the corner looking at me, who is my son. So when I see millennials, I see my sons. I want them to win. But I also want them to understand the amount of people who are going to put something on YouTube and make them rich is minuscule. And so you can't wait 30 years to luck up on something because you saw a few people get in that door. You missed a huge opportunity. Number two, if you saw somebody older than you that you admired and you saw them doing something that you want to do, you didn't see the struggle they went through before they got to the success. Mm. We tend to advertise our success, but not our struggle. So millennials have bought into the notion, that's easy, I can do that. Many, many times, the worst thing anybody, any age can do is to underestimate your opponent. And when you get into business, and when you get into life, and when you get into marriage, or when you get into church, or when you get into a club, or when you get into anything, you have an opponent to fight. Never underestimate your opponent.
All right, we got more with Bishop T.D. Jakes when we come back. Right now, here's Kendrick Lamar with Loyalty. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Bishop T.D. Jakes is here. Charlamagne?
What about people who come to you and say, Bishop, I've been praying, and I've been praying for a blessing, and I've been praying for something to break through. I've been praying for this job, but nothing's falling through. What do you say to those people?
That's really my audience. That's really my audience, and that's primarily why I wrote the book, because faith without works is dead.
Yes, sir.
And I spent a lot of times talking about faith. I wrote this book because now I want to talk about work. Because if you have all of that faith, you're asking God to do stuff that you got to do. Mm. You know, and if you don't do what you have to do, he can't do what he's going to do. And somebody's going to say, well, how can you say God can't? The Bible said that whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever you do, God will prosper. Mm. If you don't do anything, he doesn't have anything to prosper. And so I'm not one of these guys, you know, it's magic, it's quick, it's easy, give an offering, spin around, shout three times, and you got it. It's not like that. Right. If that would have worked, I would have done it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work that goes into doing anything that becomes successful. And anybody who stands outside of it and says that it's a scam or it's a game, they only do that because they don't understand the work ethic that it takes to build buildings, hire people, do what you do. There's a lot of work in being successful in any industry. It doesn't matter what it is.
Now, also, you know, you talk about praying, and you know, when we had these catastrophes and you say pray for Houston or pray for Vegas, a lot of times under the comments, you'll see people to say, you know, why would I pray to the same person that is destroying us or hurting us or causing these hurricanes or causing these shootings? What do you say to some of those people that don't believe?
Well, you know, first of all, thankfully we live in a country that you can believe whatever you want to believe, mm-hmm. without affecting the way I believe. I am resolute in the fact that God is not nature. Yes, he could control nature. He could let us live forever, but God is not nature. He stands outside of nature. And when I say pray for Houston or pray for Florida or pray for so-and-so, I have the same mindset that I do about this book. We're going to pray on one hand. We're going to load up them trucks and get some help down there on the other.
Damn right.
We need to do both. Amen. So when you start talking about prayer, I believe in prayer, but I also believe in work. As to trying to explain God, that's not my job.
Well, people forget Satan got a kingdom too. Like, these people are submitting their will to God. They're submitting their will to the devil.
Satan has a kingdom. There's that role to play in it. But here's the reality. If my grandmama's up on the roof, I don't have time to discern whether this is God or the devil. I want to get her off of the roof.
Damn right.
You understand what I'm saying? Just straightforward and simple. Yet I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. But if I'm hanging on the roof, I appreciate your prayer, but would you hand me a rope? You know, I'm just being real. You know, pray while you throw me the rope, okay? I'm a very practical guy. I want you to pray, but I want you to throw a brother a rope and a good heavy rope because I'm a pretty big guy, okay? So that my motto and my frame set in ministry is we pray with one hand, we work with the other. We have an organization called MegaCare that has been renowned around the world for its ability to be first responders in times of crisis. So just because you see a logo that says pray doesn't mean that there's not activity going on. Sometimes that activity is going on without anything being said, and other times we're very public about it. But again, faith without works is dead.
And so you got some lines I love. You say you have to look ahead to your ultimate destination with one eye and keep the other focused on your next step. And remember that graduation is rooted in the word gradual. Can you explain that a little?
You know, the thing that gets me about that is that so many people have respect for the future and no respect for the present. Right. Hmm. They've got their eye on the prize, but they don't have their eyes on the next step. If you don't honor the next step, you won't make it to the prize. Mm-hmm. And this is important for people to understand. They are so excited about where they're going that they don't have respect for where they are. If you don't have respect for where you are, you don't get to where you're going.
Right.
And that's something we don't tell people about. We tell them you don't believe in your dream, envision where you're going. Let's get around people who are doing what you're doing. All that's good, but only with one eye. Because if you don't respect where you are, you won't live to play on the field of where you want to go.
Now, it's people who are going to read Saw and they're going to be like, well, I want to be an entrepreneur. How, you know, I'm going to quit my job. How do you know when to, like, leave a certain job that doesn't fulfill you and learning to head in the direction that God maybe wants you in.
Common sense goes a long ways in the process of understanding the material that you're exposed to. There are people who leap off a job and land on a career and it explodes, but more times than not, it's a gradual process. You know, if you're out there in the ocean, you're holding on to a raft, and I reach out my hand to get you, you're not going to grab my hand all at once. You're going to grab my hand gradually as you let go of the raft, because you can't afford to let go of both things at the same time. And that's the same thing true with most people in a job. There are some rare cases that you have enough funding behind you, you've built enough team behind you, that you can walk straight away into your dream, but never step off of something that's substantive for nothing but hope.
That's what I tell these kids, too. In the pursuit of your dreams, deal with your reality, man.
Absolutely. It's critical. And the reason that I think it's important, we as a people can't lose another fight. We cannot lose another fight. We cannot afford to be fighting with each other, castigating, destroying each other. We have so many enemies coming against us like I have not seen since I was a child. This community has to learn how to rally. We have to learn how to rally. We have to get away from destroying each other and being cannibals eating each other, because we already got people hunting us. And if we don't use all of our information to come together, everything you know and everything I know and everything Sean Combs knows and everything LL Cool J knows and everything President Obama knows, we need everybody. Because if we don't, we're not going to survive.
That's a great point you bring up. I often wonder, what role does the church play in this current climate that we're in right now?
The church plays and can play a tremendous role. But when you say the church, it's like saying hip-hop. It's not all monolithic. It's not all the same. There is no headquarters that controls the church. Okay, so where do we send the letter to the church? The church is made of the people. So we are the church, okay? And the church is us. And you have to understand that. And the church has a unique role. Many of them are playing it in different ways. In the civil rights movement, the church was the press. It was where we disseminated information. It was where we let people know where the march was going to be. It was where you galvanized support. You put your little nickels in. We fought together. It was the first schools we had, when we weren't allowed in public school and we weren't taught how to read. So the church has to be ambidextrous enough to morph into what the times need. We don't necessarily need to be a school right now. We don't necessarily need to be the press right now. We don't necessarily need to do what we did in the 60s. We got congressmen and senators and legislation and things we didn't have back then, but we still have a significant role to be. And that role depends on whether the church is in South Chicago or Beverly Hills. They're not the same thing. It depends on who the congregation is. The church should meet the needs first of its parishioners. You have a responsibility to make sure the people who gave the money got something back. You cannot reach to the community and not take care of the people who gave the resources, because you're accountable to those people. Right. Once you have taken care of their needs, their facilities, their funerals, their weddings, their emergencies, their crises, being there, their facility, buildings big enough to handle them, then you reach to the community. I think that one of the greatest things that the church can be right now is a voice for those who cannot be heard, to use our platform to speak out when there's time to speak to an issue. Whether speaking out is in a march or it's in an op-ed letter like I recently wrote, or whether it's going to Washington or speaking in Washington, I think that's a tremendous role to play.
All right, keep it locked. We have more with Bishop T.D. Jakes. I know usually most people have to leave by now, but we're getting a good word this morning, so keep it locked. More with Bishop T.D. Jakes. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Bishop T.D. Jakes in the building.
Now, recently, you know, Jerry Jones said that none of his players will kneel for the national anthem. That's not something he has to work with. And I'm sure a bunch of Cowboys probably go to your church. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I would have to sit down with Jerry and talk to him about the parts of this that you don't see, to understand why he made that move, which it was a ricochet move from where he started from. He was with the players. Then he kind of switched in his perspective. If I were going to investigate it apart from talking to him, I would follow the money, because it's always got something to do with the choices.
Gotcha.
From a moral perspective, I would prefer that he support the players in their decision, and I think it is far more constitutional to allow me to express myself. You didn't hire me to salute or not salute the flag. Right. You hired me to play the game. Mm. And as long as I play the game, I think I'm living up to the contract. Right. For us to allow sports to become embargoed by politics, I think is detrimental to both issues. Because what we are really dealing with is far more important than touchdowns and passes and games and tickets.
Well, tell the president that, because he's the one tweeting about the NFL's damn self, too, and ESPN and Jermell Hill and all that stuff.
I am worried about North Korea. I am worried about job opportunities. I am worried about equal access to health care.
Can I ask a simple question? Is Donald Trump the Antichrist? Bishop, you would have more insight than us.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. Over the years, not just with the Trump administration, back to the Obama administration, all the way back to the Clinton administration, there's been a deterioration of the office and the respect for the office. Mm. And I think that when we lose respect for the office, we think anybody can do it. And then when we think anybody can do it, we elect anybody to have it. Mm. It used to be that it meant something to be the president of the United States. Mm. It meant something.
Right.
But the dumbing down of America has been gradual but continual, and we are paying a price for that.
It's safe to say you're not a Trump supporter.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But the greater issue is this. He is now our president. If being a Trump supporter means, did I vote for him? I did not. But he is our president. And no matter what you think about him, he's got his hands on the switch. He's got his hands on your grandmama's health care. He's got his hands on your kids' education. And we got to work with who's there. And we got to find a way to make this work, because 4 years is a long time to just be mad.
I guess my final question is, you know, you look around at the climate of the world and you see the natural disasters and everything that's going on. Do you think we're in our last days? Because everybody likes to say, look at the book of Revelations. We're living through it right now.
I'm not sure. It certainly has some similarities. I laughed, because not over what you said. I laughed over what I thought. When you said, do you think we're in our last days? I think I'm in mine. So you got to figure yours out for yourself. I laughed in my own head. But whether we're in our last days collectively or individually,
we're headed to World War III.
That's scary, and that's possible.
Rumors of war?
I don't think you understand. 9/11 was horrible. I mean, it touched every human being that had any sense. But 9/11 is a walk in the park compared to what a nuclear bomb would be in this country. Mm. And I'm telling you right now, this country has never seen the devastation of one bomb that got through. Nuclear attack on this country is going to change everything.
Irreparable damage.
Irreparable damage. Is what we're talking about in a flippant way is so serious. The meshing of these different machines between politics and television and social media have created a mushrooming of some distorted, mutated thing.
Donald Trump is the executive producer of America right now.
If we don't redignify the office and understand what's at stake, that this is not about ratings for Fox or CNN, but if these bombs start dropping, nobody's going to be able to bury them as fast as they're going to fall. And we don't know whose bodies they're going to be. So this is a serious office. This is a time that we really need to be having relationships with each other. Mm. This is a time that we need to have relationships with our elected officials, no matter who they are. Because one wrong move in the underbed rustling that I'm seeing globally, the world that we know it could not be, the country that we know could not be. That's pretty serious for me. I have grandkids. I kind of like to grow up and live and laugh and and see things that are important.
I thought you were about to say, I got grandkids I kind of like.
That's true, too, sometimes. It depends on what I stepped on in the middle of the night when I'm trying to get to the bathroom. That's true, too. But the reality, do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to leave on a sour note, but I am telling you, the things we fight about, and you talking about this and that and other, and the Democrats and Republicans and Trump's in, Trump's out, and Obama's in, Obama's out, what you think the church ought to do, what we think Black Lives Matter ought to do, all of those are luxury items to debate because we have not been bombed. Mm. If we are bombed, you won't care whose political party, who's the pastor, or whatever you think about that.
Those are first world problems. We get bombed, we're going to have third world problems.
That's what I'm trying to say mm-hmm. to you. And we're not that far from it. So whether it is eschatology, the theological understanding of the end of the world, or the end of the world as we know it because of evil men, I don't know. But I do know that what is being discussed is something that all of us need to be paying attention to at all ages and stages. Because if you value life at all, if none but your own, we should be paying close attention.
Well, can we
leave with a prayer, man?
We gotta leave with a prayer.
Gotta leave with a prayer, man. Please,
gotta leave with a prayer.
Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being in this place, in this moment, with this people at this time. This is a gift from you. For whatever reason, you allowed my voice to be heard through this vehicle. And I pray for every person listening, every person in this room. I pray for our country. I pray for our president. I pray for our nation. I pray for the nations of the world. I don't just want America to do well. I want the world to do well. Because when the world does well, and when there is no injustice, and when there is no poverty and no wickedness and debauchery, then people can walk the streets of Vegas and be safe, and then people can move about their lives and be free. I pray for those that mourn. I pray for all of those kids whose daddies didn't come home. Daddy and mama went away to Vegas and they didn't come back. I pray for families who are clutching the scarves of their daughters, who will never come back again. I pray for all of the chaos in Puerto Rico and all of the families who are still displaced in Houston and all throughout the lower parts of Texas and all throughout Florida and all of the tragedies all over the world. We need your grace, your love, your peace, your power, and above all, because we are flawed and human and vulnerable and sometimes wicked, we need your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Bishop T.D. Jakes, y'all.
There you have it. Bishop T.D. Jakes. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly.
The Breakfast Club.
Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, October 11th, goes to former NFL head coach Mike Ditka. Now, if you know anything about Charlamagne the God, then you know I love a book by Don Miguel Ruiz called The Four Agreements, and one of those agreements is an agreement we all can use every day, and that agreement is don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering, and you have to remember that when you hear comments like the ones Mike Ditka made. Now, via the Chicago Sun-Times, Mike Ditka appeared with host Jim Gray on Westwood One's Monday Night Football pregame show. Now, Mike Ditka said he feels that all players should stand for the anthem, and when asked about previous sporting legends like Muhammad Ali and Jesse Owens using their platforms for social justice, Mike Ditka replied with this.
I don't know what social injustices have been. Muhammad Ali rose to the top. Jesse Owens is one of the classiest individuals that ever lived. I mean, you can say, are you talking everything is based on color? I don't see it. I don't see it that way. But all of a sudden, it's become a big deal now about oppression. There has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. Now, maybe I'm not watching it as carefully as other people. I think the opportunity is there for everybody. I don't think burning the flag, I don't think protesting the country. It's not about the country. Right now, a lot of this is going on. They're protesting maybe an individual. That's wrong, too.
Now, listen, remember what I said. Don't take anything personally. This has nothing to do with us and everything to do with him. It could be a few things going on with Mike Ditka that we don't know about. He's 77 years old. He could easily suffer from Alzheimer's disease. That Alzheimer's could be causing this memory loss. Or he could have CTE. Think about it. Mike Ditka played when they had the leather football helmets. I don't even know if what I just said is true. I just assumed.
I was about to say, really?
I just assumed since he was born in 1939, he had to play football when they had the leather football helmets, okay? I shouldn't be making assumptions. That's one of the four agreements. Don't make assumptions. Just because Mike Ditka looks like one of the old fat white guys who walk around the gym locker room naked, low meat blowing in the wind, more pubic hair than meat, doesn't mean he played football when they had leather helmets, okay? Let me get back to the matter at hand. Mike Ditka said there has been no oppression in the last 100 years that he knows of. Now, that is by far the most privileged thing I've heard a person say in a long time. This is the world that I want to live in. Can you imagine how blissfully ignorant your world must be for you not to know of any oppression for the past 100 years? I quote this a lot from the great urban philosopher Doughboy. May he rest in peace. But either they don't know, don't show, or don't care about what's going on in the hood. In this case, the hood is the black community. You can't even get mad. Remember what I said. Don't take anything personal. Just do the math. 2017 minus 100 is 1917. Now, slavery was abolished, at least on paper, 151 years ago. I believe it was abolished December 18th, 1865. Go do your own math. I graduated from night school. I'm not good at that kind of stuff. So even though the effects of the oppression of slavery have been damn near irreparable and can still be felt now, I'm a humor Mike Ditka and scratch that off the list, okay? Let's start right at 100 years. 1917 on down. Where do we begin? I'm from South Carolina. Let's start with the South. Jim Crow laws, they were the state and local laws that enforced racial segregation in the southern United States. They were reinforced until about 1965. Mike Ditka, in 1965, you were 26 years old. You must have really been a dumbass jock if you didn't notice the hell black people were catching when you were 26 years old. You grew up in the midst of the Civil Rights era. What the hell did you think? Martin Luther King Jr., Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, the Black Panthers. What, you didn't notice what none of those groups were doing? Well, I'll tell you. They was fighting oppression. You know what, man? I'm not even about to have this conversation with Mike Ditka, okay? I'm not wasting my time trying to explain this to people, okay? What I'm going to do is call on the real teachers in our society, one of the real teachers in our society. I have a number of them on speed dial. Mike Ditka, I would like to introduce you to another Mike D, the educated brother from Detroit, Mr. Michael Eric Dyson.
My brother, how are you this morning?
Listen, I just had to call somebody smarter than me, man. I just want to, you know, Mike Ditka said that, you know, he knows of no oppression over the past 100 years that black people have faced. So I just want to let you school him this morning.
Wow, Mike Ditka, man, get off the sauce. Stay on the field. So when you think about the fact that for the last 100 years, let's see, 1919, 1920, 21, think about Oklahoma. Think about what happened in the Tulsa riots, when one of the worst race riots ever in the history of this nation occurred, and black citizens were bombed in their own domestic territory.
Black Wall Street
by fellow white citizens. Think about that. And since he's a sportsman, think about the fact that Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, you know, and what year was that? 1947 there about Brown versus Board of Education was 1954, which meant that there were separate but equal education in this country. But we know it was separate but not equal. That's why the Board of Education decision from the Supreme Court said we had to do that. Let me see, 1955, remember Emmett Till?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that. I mean, there was a young man from Chicago, Mike Ditka, who went down to Money, Mississippi at 14 years old and was eventually lynched, supposedly, from wolf whistling at a white woman. But what she died recently, and the revelation came recently that she was lying. But then again, Emmett Till was killed in 1955, was lynched. That same year, Rosa Parks was inspired by the death of Emmett Till and stayed in her seat in Montgomery, Alabama. And then there was a bus boycott, Mike Ditka, because black people were not allowed to ride on the bus. I know Negroes be at the back of the bus now, Mike, by their choice, but then they were forced to be at the back of the bus and they couldn't ride at the front of the bus. And what would happen is, Mike, they would often go in the front of the bus, pay their fee, have to get off, and then go to the back of the bus. But guess what? Often bus drivers were nasty, so when black people paid their fee at the front of the bus and got off to go to the back, the bus driver would take off.
Now, Michael Eric Dyson, we don't have to go over the whole 100 years you gave us. I want to ask you one question. Mike Dicker was born in 1939. He's 77 years old. You was born, what, 1950-something?
58, yes, sir.
How you remember more than him?
He had more time to study. He was alive when Martin Luther King Jr. was doing his thing. What do you think he was talking about? It was oppression, sir. He wasn't trying to run routes and plants. You know, he wasn't out there on the field trying to figure out how to receive the ball from the quarterback. Negroes couldn't even be out there doing it. Paul Robeson, one of the first black professional ball players, 1919. So the thing is, man, there's so much that's going on. Mike Dickett, he is willingly denying the history of race, but this is typical of so many white folk who live in what Gore Vidal called the United States of Amnesia.
Ooh.
That is their particular society. And as Joseph Lowry said, they live in a state, the 51st state. What is that? The state of denial. So
Ooh.
Wake up. Stop lying. Get with history. If you want to know, you can know. And Mike Dicker, you can study. You can Google it. You can Snapchat it. You can even tweet it. There's so much available to you now, so many resources.
Yeesh.
If you don't know in 2017 that there was oppression, you don't want to know. You are denying it. You are a victim of white supremacy, and you perpetuate the legacy of inequality, and that's the problem we got in this society right now.
Woo. This is the educated brother from Detroit, Michael Eric Dyson. Thank you, sir.
That's bars.
Love y'all, man. You know what I'm saying. And Mike Dicker, study, brother. Act like it's a playbook. There's no way that Mike Dicker, as a Hall of Fame receiver, could be on that field not knowing the history of his game and not studying. Pretend it was a game, sir. Study your playbook. You mad because the coaches were black? Yes, they were. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Angela Davis, James Baldwin, Fannie Lou Hamer. Study some of them. They got plenty of bars for you, plenty of words. Plenty of routes for you to run. That's all I want to say to the brother.
My brother.
Have a good one, bro.
God bless y'all now.
All right.
Bars. Please give Mike Dicker the biggest ER.
Wow. All right. Now, when we come back, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can call Yee right now. She'll help you with all your problems. Call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call Yee right now. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Samantha.
I thought you wanted to be anonymous, Samantha.
I'm going to just say it because it's going to come out anyway.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
We're about to reveal some ish this morning.
Samantha, what's your question for Yee?
Okay, I've been dealing with this guy for about 7 years. I've had 3 children with him.
Okay.
And I recently just, got pregnant. I had my son in December of last year.
So that's your fourth kid?
Yes.
Okay.
Congrats.
I was dealing with another guy because me and my kid's father was having a little issue.
Mm-hmm.
So with this guy, I've been dealing with him for 2 years out of the 7 years that I've been dealing with my baby's father.
So you've been cheating for 2 out of the 7 years?
Yes.
Okay.
So now I ended up getting pregnant with my son. Now, I know it's for my kid's father because of the timing and everything.
Okay.
But because I kind of told guy number 2 that, me and my baby's father was not, we're not talking to each other. He's way out the country, stuff like that. I ended up telling him that the baby is his.
Oh,
so both your baby father and this new guy thinks the baby's his, but you know for sure. And you might want to check that out. You might want to get a paternity test anyway.
I did get a paternity test, and that's the thing. Because we were off for so long, when I got pregnant, he was like, once the baby comes out, we got to go ahead and get the paternity test done.
Okay.
So we found out that it was his, so I just don't know how to tell,
So even amidst all of this right now, you're still dealing with the other guy, that's the guy you've been with for 2 years.
Yes.
Girl, listen.
Jeez.
You have to tell him that's not his child. There's no question about it. You have to. He cannot be walking around thinking this child is his.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
How old is the baby?
Right now, he was born in D.C. He was born on Christmas last year. So
the baby's almost 1. And this whole time, he's been taking care of that baby like it's his?
Yes.
He be giving you money and all that?
Yes, he does.
Now, how confusing is that going to be for your child when he gets older, thinking that he's got 2 daddies?
Okay, but the thing is, he does, because he's actually married. So since he's married, he doesn't spend time with my son. Like, if my son needs something, he'll just say, here. But it's never like a bonding moment with them two.
Well, he's married. He should have no problem hearing the truth about the fact that it's not his baby. I mean, what's he going to do?
That little boy going to end up on Ayanna Von Zant in the corner with his hands in the air crying. All right? That's what's going to happen to that little boy.
Okay. Yeah, but you got... I mean,
that's
listen. This ain't even about
funny.
You. It's about your son. You got to tell.
Okay.
Samantha, period. Like, you have to tell him this is not your child. And this whole thing is crazy because just think about, like, the karma that you're putting out there. You're with the guy lying to a guy that you're the side piece of.
But she getting that money.
I don't really care about the money. So it's not about the money. It's just, like, right now, me and my child's father were not together at all. And we wasn't together when it actually happened.
Well, no, y'all was together.
No.
You were sleeping with him.
That one time.
And just think about, what is your child's father doing also? You have time to run around and do this and sleep with a married man. What's he doing? And the married man that you're sleeping with, who knows how many people he's sleeping with? Don't you want to have somebody that's just for you?
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Well, listen, I think tell this man it's not his child. You got to. That's okay. The first thing that you got to do, and take it from there.
But how should I break it down? Like, I can't just go say, you know.
You don't have to break it down. It's my baby daddy's child. It's not yours. He's going to understand what happened.
Okay.
First of all, you're so dead wrong for lying, but you don't have to give him an explanation of why you slept with your baby daddy when he has a wife.
You're right. Okay.
All right. And I hope that you make smarter decisions moving forward, and so you don't end up in situations like this. You have four kids that are looking at you and paying attention to what you're doing. Whether or not you think they realize it, they do.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Mama.
All right. Thank you.
Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club.
Hopefully he listens to The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Rachel from New Haven.
Hey, Rachel. What's your question for Yee?
So, I'm single. I've been single for about a year and a half. And for some reason, I keep dealing with these dudes that want to keep me in the house. Like, they don't take me out on dates or anything. And part of me thinks it's because of my weight.
Whoa.
So you think that they just want to secretly date you?
Like, they'll be like, oh, come over and chill, or they'll come to my house and chill or something. But I'm just like, but I know we're in the generation where people don't date these days. Like, they don't go out on dates, unfortunately.
That's what they're telling you, baby.
No, stop it. Now, listen, what you have to do is not go out with people if they don't take you out. If all they want to do is have you come over or come over there, then say sorry. First of all, you shouldn't be doing that if you don't even know somebody like that.
Second of all, can I have your Instagram, please, so I can really...
You sure can. I knew that question was coming.
Oh, boy.
It's Soon, S-O-O-N, _ still chubby. All one word.
Are you meeting these people online?
No. I know, like, the one guy that I'm talking to now, I've known him since high school, and I'm 28, so I've known him for 10 years.
Well, clearly, I think that you have to think better of yourself, that you don't go out with these guys unless they take you out, because going out is actually going out.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, you're the cute big girl. I'm looking at your Instagram page. You're the pretty big girl who got all the snacks at the crib. Sure. Ain't no need to leave the house because you got Netflix, you got Hulu, you got Amazon, and you got snacks.
No,
okay?
Stop.
You keep a hot meal over there. Why would I leave the house?
Relax. Yeah, but you're a beautiful woman, and people need to treat you like the queen that you are, but you need to treat yourself that way. Stop settling for that.
It looks like you got a couple kids, too, Ma.
I have two boys.
Two boys.
Yes, beautiful kids.
Baby, ain't nobody. I'm going to be honest with you. These guys just not taking you serious. That's all.
Well, listen, baby, you got to take yourself seriously.
And
I set my standards high because I definitely don't deal with a man that has less than me. Like, you have to have what I have or more. Well, like, I'm not a gold digger or anything, but
you don't know what somebody has based off of what they tell you anyway.
Yeah.
Ooh,
all right,
what
you need to be concerned about is how does somebody treat you and how you want to be treated.
Right.
So you need to set that standard as far as, okay, you want to date me? Where are you taking me? Where are we going? Oh, you want to come over? You want me to come over? I'm sorry, but I would like to go to dinner. I'm not just staying in the house. So when you're ready to take me out, let me know.
That's right. Just because I got all this food at the crib don't mean I want to stay home. All right?
Well, where do you like to eat? Where do you like to eat at, Mama?
I always try new things.
Like what?
Well, there's a bunch of places here in New Haven that I like to try, but...
Chili's got the baby back ribs back. I don't know if you know that or not.
I don't I try not to do like franchises. I try to try something different, you know.
Find your local man that stuff. Appreciates the BBW. That's what you need to do.
You guys know that this is Ask Yee, okay?
Sorry,
you guys.
You ain't seeing what we seeing. What you need to do is go
I'm
to your Instagram.
I'm looking at her page right now. You got the cute purple hair. I see you had dyed your hair for a little while. Beautiful woman. I see the kids. But you need to make sure that you said that if somebody doesn't want to take you out, then sorry, we're not going to see each other.
Okay.
Find you a man that appreciates the BBW, boo. That's all this is about.
Thank you, Breakfast Club. Yep. I love you guys.
All right, baby. Soon, still chubby. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Her bio says, I just want abs. But, and then it's a ice cream emoji, emoji,
stop
I promise,
it.
A cake emoji, hamburger emoji, pizza emoji.
Okay.
I'm not making this up.
All
this
that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, she wants abs. She has aspiration. She has to put it in the atmosphere. All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to be talking about Harvey Weinstein and all of these allegations against him that have been coming up and surfacing right now. Where is he headed? And what is his wife planning to do?
All right. All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. We're talking Harvey Weinstein.
It's about time.
What's going on?
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so many more developments with this whole Harvey Weinstein scandal. Now, he was also caught on tape, and they have audio. He was asking a model to watch him shower. The model is a Filipina-Italian woman named Amber Batalina Gutierrez. It was part of a 2015 NYPD sting operation. And here is where you can hear Harvey Weinstein begging her to come in his room and watch him shower.
I'm telling you right now.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
Don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No. You must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you. I'm embarrassing
me. I'm sorry. I cannot. No, yesterday was kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person to be touched.
I won't do a thing. Everything, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
Oh, they got audio?
My goodness.
How did they get audio?
Right. Well, they were actually trying to do the sting operation, and they would have prosecuted him back then, but they said that audio was insufficient to prove a crime. Now, Harvey Weinstein has already been fired. He is supposedly headed out to Europe now to go to rehab for his sex addiction.
Oh, my goodness. Ain't no such thing as sex addiction. You're just a creep, okay? When it comes to sex addiction, just stop being a creep. Stop being a pervert.
They better be on his ass like they was on Bill Cosby's ass.
Oh, it's looking like it's getting there. Now, Gwyneth Paltrow has also said he got sexually aggressive with her, and at the time, she was dating Brad Pitt, and Brad Pitt actually confronted Harvey Weinstein, and she said she confided, and Brad Pitt told him, do not ever touch her again. And then Angelina Jolie says she also was sexually harassed by Harvey Weinstein back in 1998. She was doing a junket for his movie, Playing by Heart. She was in a hotel room, and he made an unwanted advance. Now, Angelina Jolie says she never complained about it, but she also never worked with him again and warned others when they did. But she does regret that she never spoke up at that time.
I mean, this is just another example of what you do in the dark comes to the light. And you made a good point about Bill Cosby. But the difference between Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein is Black Twitter. Black Twitter was on Harvey Weinstein as the way they was on Bill Cosby as it would magnify this situation times 100.
Well, it's getting there because President Obama has also had some things to say.
He ain't on Black Twitter.
Now,
let's not
forget that his daughter was also an intern for Harvey Weinstein's company back in January.
Uh-oh.
He said, Michelle and I have been disgusted by the recent reports about Harvey Weinstein. Any man who demeans and degrades women in such a fashion needs to be condemned and held accountable regardless of wealth or status. We should celebrate the courage of women who have come forward to tell these painful stories, and we all need to build a culture, including by empowering our girls and teaching our boys decency and respect, so we can make such behavior less prevalent in the future. Now, his wife.
You know, Barack asked Malia if Harvey said something.
Absolutely.
To her.
Did he say anything crazy?
You already know. No,
Malia.
No, we don't know if
Malia
anything was said. But
Malia, did that cracker say anything crazy to you?
Now, in the meantime, his wife is actually leaving him as well. Some people thought that perhaps she would stand by his side throughout all of these allegations, but she has no intention of staying with him. And now other people are coming forward and talking about situations that they've had outside of just Harvey Weinstein, just in Hollywood in general. Rob Schneider has said that Harvey Weinstein is no lone wolf, and he knows because he was also sexually harassed by a director. And Terry Crews has told his own story via Twitter. He said, this whole thing with Harvey Weinstein is giving me PTSD. Why? Because this kind of thing happened to me. He was at a Hollywood function last year, and a high-level Hollywood executive came over to me and groped my privates. He said he jumped back and said, "What are you doing?" My wife saw everything and we looked at him like he was crazy. He just grinned like a jerk. He said he didn't kick his ass because he thought of how the media would spin the story. 240-pound black man stomps out Hollywood honcho would be the headline the next day. He said he wouldn't have been able to read it because he would have been in jail. So instead, he and his wife left the party. Now, Terry Crews said he talked to other people who had worked with this unnamed executive, and the next day the power player apologized to him, but never really explained why he did what he did. Now, Terry Crews said he didn't go public with his experience because he didn't want to be ostracized from the business, and he said that would be something that was par for the course when the predator has power and influence. He said, "I let it go, and I understand why many women who this happens to let it go. Who's going to believe you? What are the repercussions? Do you want to work again?"
Sheesh.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in Hollywood. And I'm glad that my primary business is radio, because if I was to ever get tried in Hollywood, I'd be right on this radio talking about it, okay? Matter of fact, I'd go get me a book deal. The time I got my crotch grabbed, all right, by a Hollywood executive, would do a tell-all.
But would you let him do it and just walk away?
No.
I don't think that he let him do it.
I mean, would you just walk away?
Nah. I mean, I bet you'd be in a state of shock, though. Like, I don't know if y'all remember when Lil Duval was up here. Lil Duval said he got tried by a Hollywood executive, and he said everybody say what they would do when they get tried until they get tried.
I remember a couple of times people grabbed my ass. I didn't know what to do.
That wasn't even a Hollywood executive.
No, it wasn't.
That was just a sales executive here at Power 105 once. So you easy.
Now, Lindsay Lohan has defended Harvey Weinstein on Instagram, and she said, "Hi, I'm in Dubai. I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on." Mm. And then she said, "Georgina, who's Harvey's wife, needs to take a stand and be there for her husband. He's never harmed me or did anything to me. We've done several movies together. I think everyone needs to stop. I think it's wrong, so stand up." She seems very disconnected to what's going on with all these people coming for it. But it is something that people need to discuss, because it took for an incident to happen for everyone to finally tell their stories. And these are women that are powerful women in the business. You wouldn't think that something like that would happen and they would be scared of being ostracized or not getting work, but he definitely took advantage of them in his position.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back to People's Choice Mix, and we're going to start the mix off with some Eminem. Let's play that whole freestyle.
Let's do it.
From last night.
Why not?
Night.
I love
And let's not forget, Eminem has an album coming out next month also.
Right.
I love when white people use their privilege to combat prejudice, so salute to Eminem for that.
Boy, did he. And if you didn't hear the full freestyle, we're going to get it on right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.